pray, Heavenly Father, we were talking about your great presence and the life in the Spirit, and we realize that, as the prophet said, we should feed the Christ within us. We know that's true with this living word, so we're glad you're here, partaking with us in each one of us, and yet somehow through a mystery and majesty, almost like a magic process, really it's a spiritual, we know that you're dealing with us now in a group this morning, trusting that every mind can come under control to the truth of the Word of God and the life within it, and show forth that Spirit, and help us, we pray, that we may understand, and in understanding, Lord, be so filled with your Spirit, there becomes that dynamism to walk in the light, even as you are in the light, as it was put so perfectly by Paul, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Let that be our portion this morning, Lord, because we know that if that is not there, we cannot be satisfied. We can only be satisfied, Lord, as sheep of your pasture, as the flock of your hand, by being one with that word and seeing ourselves being a manifestors of it in the life which we have today, in the measure in which we have it, in the position you gave each one of us. Be glory unto thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we go into the message, I want to do a little drawing here. And, you know, I'm not the world's greatest artist, so don't expect too much. And that's not the middle, but it doesn't need to be the middle. Indeed, it should be even more lopsided than that. So over here we have Rome. And over here we have Jews. And now Rome is a city in Italy. And of course, Italy, come on down, sort of like a kind of a boot or something. That's a pretty poor boot, but anyway. And Pope doesn't have very good feet, last I heard. Now, in here is a little... Where's Rome on the map anyway? In the middle? Anybody know? To the right? Left. I was going to put it there, but I couldn't remember. I don't remember where Rome is. Now, Rome is the big city. And now, how many remember, because I don't. How many acres is the Pope heir to? Is it 7, 11, 21, or 22? What does anybody remember? There's a number of acres in Rome over which Italy has no jurisdiction. It is purely papal Rome. Let's say he's got 11 acres, right? I don't know. All right. In here, and I can't do a good job, we have 11 acres. Now, over here we have the St. Peter's Basilica, which I'm not good at drawing, but I'm going to bring the... Whoops, it's very crooked, but I don't have very good control over my hands or anything. And we've got these high pinnacles here, which doesn't really look like it. It looks like we're going to send something into space, which when it gets up there, we should have not got there. But anyway, there's a big spires up here in the spire. That's what the devil dances on. You know, really, it's the truth. Down here are the doors coming in, and down here are the doors coming in. Little lights here, little lights here. Now, what I'm trying to show you is, this is St. Peter's Basilica. What I'm trying to show you here, we can identify this. No problem at all. We have the Pope, and we have the Cardinals, we have the Bishops, and right on down to the priests. Now, they control this. And this is a control that's absolutely separate from the political world. And it's religious. And he claims to be the vicar of Jesus Christ. He is actually the Holy Ghost to the people. So therefore, if he says something, you better run, you better jump. Now, this acreage here, from here, he's got legates that go into all the world. And there's no place where Rome, not Italy. You notice I didn't even put the word Italy there? No, that doesn't mean one little thing. We're talking about Rome. Now remember,
Rome has the gold. So down here in its vaults, we got gold, right? Now, this is the most hidden secret in the world. There are literally thousands, if not thousands, of fundamental believers, and not so fundamental, who will tell you that Rome and the Pope is 666, which is Antichrist. Those same people have accepted an Antichrist doctrine of baptism. And they are all Roman Catholics in the sight of Rome. So therefore, if you can say, well, I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're going to qualify to miss, duck, and dodge all the wrath of Rome until it comes to the place where the Pope says he is Jesus Christ and he's got to be worshipped. Because remember, although Jesus Christ himself, that man, is not God, it is not illegal or unlawful to worship him because after his resurrection, they took him and fell at his feet and took a hold of his feet and worshipped him. And he didn't say worship God. Not as I recall, look it up in your Gospels. Before, when they suggested worship, he said worship God. So, all right, the Pope then will claim to be an absolute incarnation, which he will be, but of the wrong spirit. So, the world is absolutely unaware of the fact that, in the churches, that Rome controls the gold. Now, Brother Branham made a statement. And he said, the Jews have the paper. Right? Now, I'm going to ask a question, so watch me write it. Somebody tell me. Not all the Jews. Brother Branham condemned the Wall Street Jew. But listen, that was a very broad statement. Now, I'm going to show you this morning why it is that people still believe in the prodigals of the elders of Zion. They believe in every single thing that is written about the Jews wanting world control, the trilateralists, which had given way to the Bilderbergers, which is controlled by men like Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller. I'm not a Jew baiter. Brother Branham said the Jews control the paper. What Jews? Now you don't find Biermans controlling it, and they're a bunch of Jews. You don't even have Compo who calls himself a Canadian, but you better believe that he's a Jew. He had to file bankruptcy. But there's one particular man, and notice that there's a million Hungarian Jews. Every place I go, I find Hungarian Jews. They're over there in Schottensteins. I met them right out in Los Angeles. I met them in Toronto. I don't know any place I won't meet them. When Joe Ratzke wanted to go back to Hungary and was afraid they'd barbecue him, he has friends of Jews in Toronto, and he professed his longing to go back to the motherland. And he didn't want to go because he'd been a freedom fighter, though he hadn't killed anybody. He was part of the insurrection, and his name was on the "you go get him" list. We'd like to see him killed. And the Jew said, "Joe, ask you a question. What is it? Did you ever kill a Jew?" "No." "Did you ever hurt a Jew?" "No." "I love the Jews. My father risked his life. He took down water and food to the Jews in boxcars. They wanted to give him rings and watches. He said no. He defied the communists. We love the Jews." "You don't kill no Jew." "No." Go back, Joe. Nobody gonna do a thing to you. When he got back there, the mayor of Budapest wanted to give a big feast for him. Now I'm trying to show you, this fellow Soros. Now I don't believe I'm lying in this pulpit. I don't believe any Hungarian, any Yugoslavian, any Englishman, Scotchman, Welshman, Irishman, Spaniard, Italian, German or Polish can do what that guy did and be what I call them by their nationality. In other words, I'm willing to back off if I'm wrong, but I cannot believe the source is not a Jew. Now, it's been said by every expert that there is no way that any man, especially one man or a consortium, can actually control the money market as to value and devalue. And I said, boy, you got to show me. This is the guy you read about not too long ago that caused the fluctuation in American currency in the money market. They said it couldn't be done. Now, I read a little bit, but I'm not smart enough, and I'm not anxious enough to read everything. Russ, you're the reader. You ought to read all this and put me straight on it. Did you hear about him? You haven't been reading the right books and watching the right papers. And you know a lot of this stuff I'm talking about. Now, this is where, years ago, I advise you not to get into what you got into, because it'll destroy you. This won't, because Brother Branham said the Jews have the paper. And I say, what Jews? In other words, they're controlling it. Even as Rothschild said, I don't care who makes the laws, as I can make the money. And Brandeis, now they're both Jews, and Brandeis is looked upon as the great God of wisdom and knowledge, and you name it. He's not in the right hand of God, he's 4 feet above him. He's the guy that said the Supreme Court ought not to adjudicate so much as legislate. You know what that means? Just send 9 people to Washington. Why are you bothering to send 100 and what? How many congressmen you got? 400 and some? Oh, you got 700 people there at the most? Why bother sending 700 when 9 will do the work for you? Now, what about your Federal Reserve? Who's running it? Who gave Wilson $50,000 to win the Democratic election? This goes before your time. See, I've read a little bit. You know this, Russ? $50,000, Bernard Baruch, to appoint Colonel Mendel, House of Jew, as his advisor. If our money plates were taken to Russia, which indeed they could have been, who took them? It wasn't the Gentile, was he? I'm not a rabble-rouser and get you mad at the Jews, because don't get mad at the Jews. Get your priorities and your education straight. It's not the Jews. It's a few Jews. Now, this man was brought before the Senate. And he literally laughed and smirked in their faces and said, you wouldn't understand. And our toadies, so anxious for the dripping and getting the power. They don't care if anybody does. Just like you guys that work for people, in the majority of cases, if your boss could sell your hide for $10, he'd take it off you and sell your hides. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now you've got 2 desperately evil forces here. Now we know by divine revelation, which nobody else knows, this is the tricky baby. These guys are going to fool themselves, and they're going to be so fooled, they're going to find themselves kissing, literally kissing and licking the Pope's toes. and fawning over him and worshiping, and they won't do it. That is, the whole bunch won't do it. They know better than that. And only 144,000 are going to come to God. So you get your picture this morning when Brother Branham said the Jews have the paper. And I want to ask the question, what Jews? He said Wall Street Jews. See? In other words, those that literally control the market. For years I wondered how that Hitler could devastate Israel. And suddenly somehow we have these people buying out everything under high heaven. Now I'm not, as I say, look, I am not here to raise Cain with the Jews and make you hate the Jews. That is not the point. The point is they do have the paper. They've got the money, they've got the bonds, they've got everything but the gold. Now, let's talk about gold. Have you been reading your papers? Have you been seeing where Congress is finally waking up to a Canadian court, a consortium that has bought at 42 cents an acre, I think, or $2 or something, literally hundreds of thousands of acres which contain billions of dollars in gold? I'd like to find out if that those Canadians' names are Mr. Donegal, Mr. Gordon, and if they are, I'm going to examine their noses and their eyes and their ancestry. Two guys and only two, and yet we think there's four. And four is a lovely bunch. We'll take on 16 more. And pretty soon there's 100 guys who are running the world we see. But I've got news to tell you folks, that's not in prophecy. Two. Two, right? Huh? Two. But the world hates the Jews. And they're turning more and more to Rome and to the Pope. And the incarnate evil is not in the Jews as people teach. It's in a Gentile. Antichrist Gentile. Oh, yeah, I know that Jesus called Israel serpent seed, sure. And I know that Haldeman said that Billy Graham said that to Nixon. And of course, all the Jews and different ones are saying, well, that doesn't sound like Billy Graham. But Billy Graham didn't say it. It doesn't sound like Billy to me because he hasn't got an ounce of brains. If he didn't say it. As Henry Kissinger said to Nixon, according to Haldeman, well, there's good Jews and bad Jews. That's the truth. And there's good Catholics and bad Catholics. There's good Protestants and bad Protestants. But the truth of the matter is, people are entirely wrong on their understanding of the truth which has been vindicated. This is the Antichrist. This one has the gold. This one has the power. Paper doesn't mean one thing in the showdown. You wait till there's a genuine bull market, you'll see what's going to happen. Well, it can only go so high. I think it'll go up a little higher. We've seen this. I guess it's a genuine. When you see the bear, which is coming, you're getting a fluctuation now. There'll be the bear market, which will really tear things all to pieces. And you see how much your shares are worth in General Motors or anything else you got. What I'm trying to say here, there are two manipulations going on at one time. And these people figure they're going to actually win, and this guy knows that he's going to win. Malachi Martin told us. The end game is the Pope is going to win and his trump card is gold and these birds here don't know it. Now, if the advisor of the Democratic Party was a certain specific nationality, ethnic, and that ended with Roosevelt being conned by an economist. Look his name up and see if he's background of his Jews. I don't know. I'm not saying this, Russ. I don't know. Just check it out. That economist persuaded him to believe that gold was merely a commodity, the same as a tea or an orange or anything else. And from that time on, your paper money began to lose all value until just a few years ago, your dollar could not be redeemed even in silver. Ask you a question. How much is your American dollar worth? Now let's ask you, how much are you worth? How many own your own houses completely paid off outside of me? I got news for you. You're wrong. Your house isn't paid off. It never will be. As long as there's taxes that can be levied on you, your house is not yours. Not mine. Whose is it? Roma. And I'm only going to be too happy to say Riva del Chiroma when I go up. Or ciao, whatever it is. You don't own anything. There's only one thing you can really possess, and that's possess your souls in patience in Christ. We'll talk about it maybe, I don't know. But we won't get to all these things. But I just want you to see here and understand that there are a few Jews that are controlling everything. And the Jewish people are no more serpent seed than this bunch. In fact, they can be a whole lot less serpent seed than this bunch over here. And I'm not specifically speaking of the Vatican and its super political religious structure. I am speaking in terms of the harlot and her daughters. And my Bible tells the end time they're natural brute beasts, which qualify 100% as serpent seed, and the few other seed which are left as foolish virgin, because remember they're from that beginning, way back there, which God's predestinating power does it all, they will die. They'll be just slaughtered during the Great Tribulation. So here's your picture. Now, I don't want you to get involved with the prodigals of the elders of Zion. Forget it. It's the same as the Knights of Columbus oath. There's a lot to it, but we don't know what there is to it, so forget it. What we do know is this message. What we do know is vindicated. And it's vindicated that this is the Antichrist. This is the system with the harlot system. They've got the gold. And remember, he's a law unto himself. And remember, Brother Branham said, yes, the Germans struck St. Paul's Cathedral, but they didn't hit the Vatican. Huh? When Hitler walked into Poland, you mean to tell, I beg your pardon, into France and those places, I never heard of Rothschild losing his money or anything else. I used to marvel how those guys with no money could come to Cannon Place and buy up everything. Hey, when I don't have a nickel, they won't give me a hot dog. If my house and property and everything's been ravaged and I'm here in my shoe leather and one little bit of a coat and pants and a shirt or something on my back, and that's all I got, how come I can suddenly do great things and control great things? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a word of prophecy that the devil himself must line up to and all this line up to. Now I'm going to tell you there's a word that goes far beyond prophecy that these line up to. There's a line right down here, a red line of blood in the word of Almighty God that the bride has, and she knows these things. So you know it's a good thing not to be caught up in bigotry and in racism. Brother Branham never allowed himself to fuss at the Catholic people. He said it's their religion. He said it's their organization hierarchy. I'm against the people. They're trying to be good people. He never came against the Jews because some certain Jews have the paper. He knew what's going to happen. But he didn't take a whale of a lot of time explaining it. And I've lived a long time. So at 20 years of age, I studied this thing. Then I had to throw it overboard because I knew it could make me a complete racist. I got away from it. Came down in the States here. And I found certain things that, hey, look, I believe, I don't necessarily believe any more than you do, and I'm not going to name these certain things. But there is in this world today and in this message a certain understanding concerning racism that wouldn't stand the test of the blood and the Holy Spirit before God. I'm guilty of a lot of it because of bad experiences I've had. But my bad experience doesn't have one thing to do with the Word of God. Neither does my good experience have one thing to do with the Word of God. It's whether I'm a child of God or not, or you're a child of God. So, all right, I just wanted to show you and ask you, what Jews? And I'm not saying Soros, he's the big guy, and Kissinger's the next big guy. I don't even know. This guy could turn to Christ in 15 minutes, and maybe he's just a guy on the outside that can do things that I just wonder that one man can do. And yet it was known that the billionaire did influence what they said could not be influenced. And if one man could do it, now notice the Hunt brothers, billionaires, couldn't take over the silver market, could they? Got 50 bucks an ounce, and they blew it. Now you watch gold start to go up. Now don't tell me, please don't anybody say, leave ale, says save gold. They're only going to take it from you. So I'm going to do a little black market. And that black market guy say, hey, Lee Vale's got some gold coins because he just showed me one. I'll turn him in and get a reward, or I'll bump him off and get it all. Ha, ha, ha. Because I know how to go to the authorities and get all the need for this gold here. See, look, you haven't got a prayer, brother, sister, against the Word of God, neither do I. This is the fallacy of prayer, praying against the Word. Forget it. Pray according to the Word, then believe that Word's going to do something in your heart and my heart. Okay, this gets us off our subject so bad I should talk a bit more and let you go home. We don't have time to do that. We're going to hit now, go to number 15. This is, you're ready for the taping. You got this on the right tapes? Switch it over any. Start it. You got a new tape on this? Put this. No, leave it. That's right. Leave this the way it is because I want people to have this out there. This is not just a preamble. Good. Leave it the way it is. I beg your pardon. All right. Now we get to number 15. In our discussion, number 14 of this message, we found Brother Branham thoroughly explaining what the new birth, the born-again experience, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which all three are actually the same thing, just different words, can take place in its fullness only by piling word upon word until we come to that full measure of spirit word, bringing us unto the stature of that perfect man, unto a mature man. Now remember, the mature man gives you entrance to the mysteries. Hebrews 5. A truly spirit-filled man, mentioned by Paul and Peter, moved on by God, as Brother Branham said, becomes a living statue. A living statue means that it's something like an image unto God, and people believe that the life of the God comes into that, and so it becomes a statue, not just representative, but God living amongst them. But Brother Branham translates this into the human being, which now he says, the full stature, you are like a living statue, an icon, an image, living epistles read and known of all men. Now once, just keep with me, once he confirmed this to be the truth, he began to declaim against anything that has been taking place, has been taking the place, beg your pardon, has been taking the place of this true spirit baptism and infilling, thus adding to or taking from the word, such as joining a church or going through some religious formula, or what you might say, substantiating or substituting another message for something other than this as was seen in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. So they deviated from becoming the full stature of man, the full stature of a man in God, that nature of God bringing forth those people into the maturity for which they were predestinated. They put it off. Of course, we're going to get it at the end time. And they went into their folly by opening their minds to that which wasn't true. And you notice what they did? They began a form of substitution. Which form of substitution would very, in their own way, gratify their thinking that now they've done no harm, for though they took away Jesus, the real, they put another one in. And they took away the real spirit, they put another one in. And they took away the real gospel, put another one in. So therefore they would say, well, we haven't added or taken from the word. Hallelujah. See the trick? Neither can you substitute. Because in your substituting, you will take, you will add. And though you come up to a three, it's certainly not the three of God. Then he began, as he had done on several previous sermons, to show how the church itself, coming out of the dark ages under Luther, began an ascent to the Ephesian or Alpha church, which repeats in this hour of the perfecting of the bride by the word of justification coming forth, then Wesley, sanctification, then under Pentecostals to the restoration of the gifts, and finally to the presence of God and the full revelation of the Word, a full or complete filling of the Spirit, and no other filling we know to come. Now, in this message, we have those that don't believe that. They talk about the word coming to the bride, the Son of Man ministering the bride, this thing, that thing in the bride, looking, always down the road, always boasting. I mentioned a guy here some time ago. He had that kind of thought in his mind. The third pull was going to start with him, here, there, someplace else, and he died. Before he died, he found out that wasn't so, and he repented. Pretty bad to live life in this message years and years preaching the wrong thing. The son says, oh, I've been wrong. My goodness, I just repent now. Is that how you come to full maturity? Taking away, adding. You say, oh, my, I'm sorry, that's it. Huh? I don't believe that's the way you do it. All right, let's go to the message here so we can talk about a lot of things I've got notes on if the Lord gives us time. We're on page 28, and we're going to paragraph 86. What Wesley's message never would have been the same as Luther's. It couldn't be. He just couldn't take Luther's message, because Luther believed in justification, but Wesley believed in sanctification. It's not that Wesley threw out justification, it's just that Luther was short. He didn't add the word as it came in season, because he wasn't there to add the word. Now, had Luther been there to add the word, he would have added the word. Had he lived long enough to see the Pentecost, he'd have been Pentecost. He already spoke in tongues and prophesied. He'd have been proud of them, but not their falling away doctrine. Then when it came to Brother Branham, he'd have been there with, you know, having a great time, seeing the fulfillment of what God started in him. Now the Pentecostals came along, and they couldn't take justification and sanctification by itself. It was fine, for it was time for the restoration of gifts. Now we're going from there, see, the three stages of the vine coming up. The first, it's a little blade. Luther came up from the Reformation. Well, he came up as the Reformation, is what he did, because Reformation started with him. Remember, they were reformers, not prophets. All right, that was the stock. Watch nature. God in nature works in continuity because God is in nature. Well, certainly he made it. Then next came the tassel, the pole in the Methodist age. Then came the Pentecostals. Oh, my. Just so perfect, see? Not the Pentecostals, the way it was done. See? Just like that grain of wheat. Looked like it's a perfect wheat. A real grain of wheat. Open it up. No wheat there at all. It's chaff. He calls it a shuck. A carrier of what? The wheat. But that life is working its way on through to its final fulfillment, bringing forth the perfect people for the perfect place. Now, I added that all in there, but don't worry. It's what the prophet said. As long as I say what he said in my words to make you understand a little better, that's fine. Because, listen, the seed planted has to come back in original form. So what are we looking for? We're looking for the original seed that planted, spoken words, original seed. So, all right. And Brother Branham tells you that the Father's house are many mansions. That's a perfect spoken word. So, all right, who's going to have it? The wheat. The sheep. The planting of God. See? So, all right. Now, let's look at this. Justification with Luther. Sanctification with Wesley. The Pentecostals come along, and we find that they have the gifts restored. Now, if we go to 2 Peter, the first chapter, which we looked at and are looking at, stature of perfect man, the building up. Grace, second verse, first chapter. Grace and peace multiply unto you the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. See, they throw the word pertain in there, so showing you that it means a singularly qualified for it. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. See, we're looking to that living statue there. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, you'll find in 2 Peter a bunch got to the place of having escaped the corruption by justification and sanctification, but never went on to the baptism. Never got sealed in. So what happens? They go back, dogs to the vomit. Pigs to the wallow. Now, they weren't in a state of metamorphosis from a little wiener pig to a full-grown pig, and then decided they didn't like the slop they were getting, or they called the man a slop, like a lot of Israel didn't go back to being a pig again, having been a sheep for a little while. Wouldn't work, because if you were changed from a pig to a sheep, you'd love sheep food, but nobody ever heard of a pig going into a sheep. That's stupid. You know, No, people shouldn't try to make the Bible stupid. Sheep, 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 pig, 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 dog, dog, dog. You know, I try to tell people that they don't believe me. We had them sitting in here. They don't believe me. Because they can't believe the Word of God. And I'm not unique to the Word of God. Anybody else believe this message preaches the same way. See, now, he said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, Brother Branham used the term virtue there as real dynamism. And then to your virtue, your dynamism, add knowledge. So, if you throw this into the paraphrase of what Brother Branham was telling you here, you've got the once and for all revelation that Peter acquiesced to that was given to Paul to the Gentiles. Jude also knew that. So did they all know it. So, all right, you got faith, which is your genuine, definitive revelation by the Holy Spirit showing you're part of that rock. The next thing, there's manifestation. Now, if you apply that to Brother Branham, you got vindication proving this man has the truth. See? Now, the next thing you got is knowledge. Now, you begin then to understand that now you can take your knowledge and built upon it, having been thoroughly vindicated, and therefore you're justified to live, die, sink, swim, that this is certainly it, and there's nothing else but this. Now, you'll notice the fourth one in there is temperance. Now, the word temperance is a word that we look at and say, well, this man, he's a temperate person. He doesn't go to extremes, and that's good, but that's not the Greek. The Greek word is self-control, meaning continence, which certainly is a sexual word. We see people are self-controlled, they are continent. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to find some little girl over here that she just wasn't too continent. It says, I'm jealous over you, that godly jealousy, having espoused you to one husband, I may present you to as a chaste virgin to Christ. He said, but you've been messing around. You're incontinent. You don't keep yourself in the Holy Ghost. You don't keep yourself chaste. Now, what's a chaste virgin? One who's looking to be pregnated by the Word to the extent that she will bring forth that child. Spoken word, original seed, Eve should have had that child. Now, that no bride but the end time bride is pregnant with God to bring forth Christ in human flesh, which is the bridegroom, which when that spirit in the midst becomes incarnate too, will crown a king to king and lord of lords and be wedded to him in the glorious matrimonial service and the wedding supper of the Lamb. And the bride will be under complete and absolute perfection at that time. Now, the church in the three stages, the same as every human being, should next then go to patience. Because if you're thoroughly committed and continent, no escapades outside of Christ the Word, you'll be patient. How many people this message could wait to get really pregnant with the Word? Well, I'm not going to discuss that, but I don't think too many. How many got their rooms really shut up to the Word? They're the ones that can be patient. They're the ones that don't have to worry about feelings. Listen, I've been thinking a lot about feelings recently. I've been thinking about this deadness that seems in my heart and mind. Where's this? Where's that? Where's the other thing? Look, it was either vindicated and shown or forget it. There's nothing to it. Huh? But I can say with Peter, to the Simon, it's a perdition with you and your money. To perdition with what's called vindication. Either it is or it isn't. And if it is, I want to ask you one question. What's it got to do with your person, period? Except as a gift of grace, take it or leave it, shut up. Whether you take it or leave it. So what's my feelings got to do with it? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. No emotion. I've said it and I'll say it again to myself and you, Abraham. 5 minutes before he was changed, and the same with Sarah, they were in the rottenest shape physically they ever were in. And as far as feelings and emotions were concerned, concerning the production of entering into an act which would of liaison with each other, which God had commanded to bring forth that son, Isaac, typing the royal son, they had less feelings about it than they ever had in their lives. All they had was a promise. And Abraham believed God. And he considered not his own body now dead and getting deader, nor Sarah's womb dead and getting deader. He was just as good as a branch cut off a tree dead. Though you try to put it in a bucket of water in the earth, it'll no more sprout and bring forth then nothing. But he didn't look at that. He looked at the Word of God, and 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says the same thing. When you can get rid of all the crud in your mind, and boy, do they hate me for saying manure head. And I'm going to tell you, Apostle Paul was a dirty dog because he taught me to say manure head. Yeah. How vain are people in their thinking. Now, are we then continent? How are we this morning in the sense of what we have? Are we satisfied? We've been united. When he wants to bring forth the inner man clothed in new clothes, that's his business. Brother Branham will talk about this in this message. Or are we looking around like most of the Branhamites? Until the Believer magazine whoops up a man, and my understanding doesn't have a clue to what this message is all about. They hate me because I build a fence around myself. That's why I won't organize. I would not feel bad from this moment on cutting off every single person outside of this church from all of these tapes. I'm not interested. You run your own boat. You run your own show. You're your own man. I have no influence over anybody, and I'm not interested. At this point, I'm interested in one person above every person in the world. Am I going to make it? So what about your wife? That's her business. What about you? Are you going to make it? That's your business. What have I got to do with you and you with me? The Bible said we owe nothing to anybody except love. And there's only one conduit for love, and that's the Holy Ghost. And there's one conduit with the Holy Ghost, and that's the Word. How can you not help but love each other, you that love this message? A lot of people evidently don't love it. They got some cock and bull story up their sleeve. I don't buy it. So what I'm looking at here then is these first three poles that are in the last day churches. We've come to the place of where Luther starts with the true definitive revelation of justification. The just shall live by faith. Doesn't have one thing to do with works. Abraham justified by faith, and David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, even though he does it. Brother Branham came along and said, you didn't even do it. What's the difference in you didn't even do it and you won't get imputed here? Huh? Well, the fact that you did it, even though it's not imputed, makes you know you need something. Huh? Right. From that time on, God begins with. The next thing that came true was the fact of the virtue. It begins to come now. And you begin to see the power of the Word moving in demonstration, the pollination, all these things going out there. We got virtue. Then we got the fact of knowledge coming up. So what we're looking at here then, in my books, you have to have a repeat in a measure of these three which were there in the beginning and spoken of by the Apostle Peter. And then when you get to number four, which would be, in my estimation, Brother Branham, you come to the place of your continence where you're perfectly dedicated to this Word. Now, all of this happened in Brother Branham's ministry, so don't worry. But there has to be a seed of it started way back there. It couldn't come at this particular time because nothing can come without a seed. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get a continuity here, not trying to make the thing perfect, because Brother Branham didn't. I'm not trying to make it either. Now, with this place we come to in continence, we're no longer trying to mess around. We're fully convinced of the mind, being fully impregnated with the Word of Almighty God, and shut up. No other seed can come in. Okay. What then do you have? Patience. And that's a peculiar type of patience, waiting, as Brother Branham said, for the Word of God and the revelation of those things that keep coming. To that patience you add godliness. And to that you add brotherly kindness. And that's the age we're in, which is fish hooks on your elbows, Bankwood said, because he said, we're very, very prickly and sticky. And it's only the Holy Ghost himself in his triumphant work is going to bring us to the place of complete subjection, subordination, which is indicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because that's why he came down to do, to bring every one of us into complete subjection to Jesus Christ. And therein, at that time, will be fulfilled every single word concerning us as to obedience and to simple promise. Because it's got to be. Because no word of God is void of power will fall to the ground. That's when God takes over and God is that perfect love. Now, so we were looking at those two verses. You escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now be very diligent, he said, to watch this. To your revelation, absolutely, Brother Branham talking about himself, us, and the church, right through the ages. You've come to this very place, and you'll come right up into Christ where Paul himself mentioned that you and I would be. Now, talking of those first three ages, justification, sanctification, Pentecost, or restoration of gifts, you notice in there the life was working itself up through that. And when the life went on, that doctrine became dead dogma, though the life, being still there and manifesting the justification, will never cease to manifest in the justification itself. But the people, not having the living word, no longer will justification manifest there. When the Lutherans left it, the life went on to the Methodists with sanctification. Try as the Lutherans want, they cannot recapture the justification that they have by the Holy Ghost and in the Word of the Holy Ghost, because they organized, they died, and God cut the branch off. Methodism now got full justification and sanctification, another measure of the Spirit. Soon as they organized, it went right to the Pentecostals. The Pentecostal organized. Now what's going to happen? There's nothing left but the giver himself. Now, when a baby's in the womb, it gets there because the life of the father has pregnated the woman, that little egg. Now, he's going to go through a series of processes of maturation. And that life, now get it, that life from the father will not see the father until he's mature and comes out of the womb and comes to a place of recognition. Now, how are you going to change nature? The life that was vindicated and given to bring forth the royal seed, the man-child, to bring forth Christ, see, that light was put in the bride, and it's got to come to the place where that life now, having gone through the whole period of gestation, 1, 2, 3, has got to come forth and see its father, not its brother, but to see its father. You understand what I'm saying? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a lively hope. So who is our Father? God is our Father. Who is our brother? Jesus is our brother. Now what does the Bible say? Always beholding their Father's face. So there has got to be a bride, a group, from this period of gestation One, two, three stages. And if you take and study the human body, you'll likely find three absolute marked phases. And then what happens? The baby has to have an absolute perfect position in the womb to come forth. And what comes forth? Head. You bring forth feet, you got a complete mess. The body grows up into the head. So, all right. What do we see at the end time? Brother Branham said when God went down to Egypt, Moses, he not only appeared in signs and wonders, mighty signs and wonders, he himself also appeared in the flame of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today we've got his picture. So as the Father appeared, in order to start the impregnation, which did not get lost, but had to come right back to the original steps, the original word, so that now there would be a bride, a people standing right here, coming through one, two, three, could absolutely recognize headship and recognize her fatherhood. Now keep this in mind as we study. Now if you want to sit here for about 3 hours, you're not worried about dinner, we can go 3 hours. To try to cover a lot of points here. Time's gone. Too bad, we just missed that one. Now, look. He opened the shuck, there's no wheat there. There wasn't in any organization, they organized, because the life had gone on. See? It's a shuck, a carrier, the chaff. But that life is working on its way through to the final fulfillment, and he's talking about a perfect place that has a perfect people. So therefore, when he's talking about this life, he's talking about this life producing a perfect people for the perfect place that's already produced. In other words, you're getting a people ready that are already prepared for the prepared place. See? Now, here we start today's lesson. Those back there in Lucifer's age accepted. They got E-X-C-E-P-T, but that's not true. It's A-A-A-C-C-E-P-T. They accept Luther. That the life came through. But it went and denominated out. The first thing, you know, it just became a denomination whose end is to be burned. Now, the Bible speaks at the end time of the chaff burning. But the stalk is just as much to be burned. Anything that's a carrier and dead is burned. See, the stalk dries up. See, he talks about that. It was just a carrier. Some of them still try to stay in that old carrier stalk. Know nothing about God. Dead. They say, look, we're a leaf. We're the Lutherans. That's right. But look where it's at now. See, we were Methodists. And even, we were Pentecostal. But look at Pentecost. Now watch. How cold and formal it's getting. Why, they're the hot time, ragtime jazz babies of the religious world. Oh, they got, you think they ain't hot? What married man, what married woman that's a singer in the Pentecostal church in Nashville, huh, got together and she's pregnant? Oh, it's in every paper. Sure. Every paper. He had the big prizes for winning the great songs. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He's plastered all over Newsweek, everybody's house. And she was a big timer. I'm not just telling you scandal. I'm telling you the condition of the church. They're hot, all right, in the wrong direction. All jazzed up, they've been known for years that they've been rife with it. That child would be perfectly legitimate. According to Brother Branham, got written in one of my Bibles here. Now, they're the souped up ones. Oh, hey, we're not formal. Man, we're on fire. We sing, we dance, we shout. Glory to God. Brother Branham said they're cold. Yeah. And formal. Now, how can a red hot jumping, jiving, dancing, hallelujah singing people be cold and formal? Well, they formalize the word. Why, you get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is the speaking in tongues. That's it, all over. Nobody else but us has it. Now, listen to me. If that were the truth, that wouldn't be formal. Uh-uh. No way, shape, and form. But you see, they're not vindicated to say what we say, and we get by because we're right. Because listen, brother, sister, there is a truth. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Everything stands still in the face of that truth. And somebody's got to have truth. Because if nobody can have it, then God doesn't give a rip. Because he proved it. He doesn't care. So, all right. What's this Pentecostal church that Brother Branham says is formal and cold? Third chapter. The church in Laodicea. Thus saith the Amen, the winder-upper, the faithful and true witness. Who is he the faithful and true witness to? This Jesus, Almighty God, when he was here upon earth. Who's going to witness to him now? He's raised from the dead. God himself that raised him. I know your works, neither hot or cold. You would you were hot or cold, because you're just lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because you see, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and know not you're wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and poor, blind, and naked. See, they left that word. They don't believe that. They're cold to the word. Absolutely cold to the word. And red hot adversarially. Huh? Come on. Come on, come on. Ice cold to the word, red hot against it. Well, they got to be, because they're the end time chaff. Naked, and are not ashamed. Yeah. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve. They don't even have the eye salve. What they think this is, well, hey, you got the eye salve, now start using it. It doesn't say that. The Greek says they don't have it. There's no eye salve there, like the oil ran out of the bottles. Why? The Lutheran oil ran out. Why? The Holy Ghost left the dead word. The Holy Ghost left the dead word of the Methodists. It left the dead word of the Pentecost. Where is the Holy Ghost now? He's got to be a carrier. Oh, it's in the church. Hogwash, he's in the church. He's in the word. Because the words that he speaks are spirit and life. And the Rhema Logos, God doesn't change from Rhema over here and just forget it. And Logos over here, just look at it. Hogwash. It's a Rhema Logos, God. Won't you ever forget it. The prophet showed, and I can take my concordance right there. Do you want to waste the time? Let's take my concordance right now, and I'll show you. It's a Rhema Logos, God. It's interchangeable. Ha! Brother Branham even said this is a God in print. Now you got a Rhema Logos print. I buy that. No problem. I like it. So here's Pentecost. They've completely left. Now watch. He said, this is the Pentecostal church. I'm going to stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, and thereby hearing open the door, why, I'll certainly come in and sup with him, and he with me. We'll become conversational. Then after it's all over, God's going to listen in and see if the guy kept up the conversation. Malachi 3rd chapter. You're going to find that most didn't. Now, they cannot listen. Because there's no way they're going to believe he's standing at their door knocking when they're convinced that they're rich, increased in goods, and don't need anything. When the prophet came by with thus saith the Lord, it merely confirmed that they had was right. Hey, we just need more, but hallelujah, I'm glad he came and showed us. Where are they today? Where's the big tents? Where's this? Where's that? Where are the Roberts? Where's the Hicks? I think he's dead. Cale Jackson died a long time ago. Cole, the same thing. I think Erickson is dead also. Where's Osborne? over in France, vegetating, I suppose, I don't know, living on lots of money, having a great time. Who knows what they're doing? There, the guys had all the answers. They didn't have it. They didn't know that the one at the door was the judge and corrected. They didn't know the Bible said, let us call upon God and see if he'll come and leave a curse or a blessing. He can't come without both. You know why? Because he comes with the word. And the word is the judge. Now I'm looking at this the best I can to let you know what I see here. And what Brother Branham is saying about these old carriers. And the present chaff, which is now a carrier and cannot recognize it. Let me tell you something. The Catholic Church cannot recognize it was a carrier, though a carrier to death. The Lutherans cannot recognize they were a carrier. The Methodists cannot realize they were a carrier. The Pentecost cannot realize they're a carrier. And some of us do not realize today that we are carriers. Well, bless God, I hope I'm one of them.
Yeah, I just hope I'm one of them.
Huh? Think it over. Think it over with our testimony this morning. Oh, get kind of scared to say no one but us has life if we have the right revelation. Brother Branham stood there and he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, it won't stand really. He stood there and he said positively, he said, no message outside of this will come to life. And he said, if you cast me into hell, I'll still love you. Why? Well, he said, you that love this message, how can you not help love each other? And the Bible said, how can you love God if you don't love each other? God not having been seen by you, and these lovely people having been seen by you, now that you see these lovely people and love them, then you love God. Now we're getting someplace. But they got the order all reversed and mixed up. And we come along and preach the truth. Oh, there, that's his spirit. Ooh, my. Oh, I know he's got some doctrine. Ooh, my, that spirit. Ooh, he preaches in hate. Well, I'm not as bad as David. He said he hated the enemies of God of the perfect hatred. I don't say they're enemies, but that old boy. I'm not going to take something from Scripture and try to just, you know, to change it. But the thing is this. Why should I love what God has condemned?
Yeah.
You know something? God condemns the man off the word a million times more than the man that commits adultery. You see, I don't believe it. You don't believe your Bible because David committed adultery under conditions that I'm going to tell you even an unthinkable heathen shouldn't do. Just think that one over. If you say I'm Pentecost, that don't mean anything more than if God, to God than if you were a Roman Catholic or Jew, whatever you might be. You've got to be born again by that light. Okay? That came through that carrier there. In other words, you've got to remember Brother Branham's teaching, justification, sanctification. Follow what he's saying, the life coming up, that same life coming up. Don't look back and say, oh, what a great guy Luther was. Oh, Luther was. Oh, what a time, what a man, look what he did. Oh, and that Wesley, man, can you believe about Wesley? Oh, yeah. Come on, just keep, come right to William Branham and ourselves. It's that same life. It's coming up now to the last stage. Where the child is going to face the Father, the life within is going to face the life giver, the great life. We're already facing the Word by revelation, given where the life is, piling word upon word. There is no way that this bride will not come to full gestation and see God. She's already seen Him face to face by manifestation and revelation, and she's going to see Him immortalized, incarnate. And be joined to Him at the wedding supper. You've got to be born again by that light that came up through that carrier there. Don't stay in the stock. Don't stay in the shuck. He said, don't stay in the seed. In other words, what's talking about shuck that looks like a seed. Go right on out to the perfect part. See? Now come by the Bible way. Keep building up. Now remember, in every reformation we've had on all those Lutherans and so forth, at 3 years they organized. That's what he said, I believe it. That's right. Every revival brought an organization in 3 years. Think how long this has been going on, 20-some years, and no organization. Can't. See? Now, you know why? In 3 years, you see, there again, they go to the fourth year. They never got to the fourth year where they got to the place of continence. Dedicated virginity. We're dedicated to virginity. This morning we say, where would we go? You know, I've climbed on the trunk of a tree and sawed the branch off behind me. And if God doesn't keep me from going kerplunk, the alligators are going to get me because I've put my limb over the River Nile where the alligator is. And if the branch doesn't break, I've got a hangman's noose and a shotgun handy to make sure that I ain't going to live. Because who wants to live if this isn't it? Where are you going to go? See, people can't understand my preaching. They want somewhere to turn. I've done turned. Now the point is, does he want me? I want him, but does he want me? Now, it's that right there. Right there. Right there. Well, Brother Dale, if you want him, you can come. Is that a fact? Give me some scripture. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Not blessed is the man who chooses thee and wants to come. I've had some weird-looking women wanting to marry me, but I picked the one I wanted. Good heavens. People can't even figure that out. You think God isn't fussy? Well, hallelujah. So, okay, never could come to temperance. Continence, virginity. Laying out there now, it's got to lie in the presence of the sun to ripen into glorious grain like the one that went into the first. The original. We've got to have Ephesians again. And this time, there's no marking off. It's going right up to the full stature. And headship is already here, so therefore, headship will bring forth the stature. Come on. I'll prove it to you. The child doesn't have any genes but what comes from his parentage. And all right, we already got the genes that God wants us to have. You say, just a minute, there's a male and female. Just a minute, you, buddy. Eve came from Adam. Brother Branham said, you were in your father, and your mother was too, and it's all of God. Oh, I love the prophet. He could give those sinkers, believe me. He fed the people, actually, cake donuts, and they thought they were concrete sinkers. Man, I'm glad I got the teeth and this taste that love the donuts the prophet handed. They aren't concrete either. They just put that way to kind of make you... whether you wanted it bad enough or not. Now I said, lie in the presence of the sun. Some wag in this message said that he didn't say lay in the presence and rock. No, no, he didn't say it. He said it. You said it. Whoever you were said it. Why don't you just listen to what the prophet said? Lie in the presence of the sun. What does the wheat do? Lies in the presence of the sun. Dries out. Lets the shuck break away. Gets ready for the pounding of the patience. Gets ready for the garner. Going to take away. You know, they tell me today, and I understand somebody else claims this, but I don't know. I understand there's only one true unhybridized wheat in the whole world anymore. It's called Kamut. And they found it somewhere in a way over in the east. And it doesn't look like the rest of the wheat. It's a pretty big full wheat with a kind of a nice hump on it. And it's a good tasting wheat. You grind it and dip your finger in, it tastes kind of good, like a nut-like flavor. Yeah. Someone says they got another religion. I don't know that I can believe that. I can tell you one thing. When it comes to this message, there's only one original. There's always somebody trying to fool you and tell you they got the real thing. Phooey. We got the real thing. Now the thing is, do we believe it? Do we let the word now work within us? That's a great gift Brother Branham had. That's a gift we all had this morning, lying in the sun, is letting what's in it, let it begin to work. Fully committed to it. And the first thing you commit is your soul. Yeah. Other things follow that, brother, sister. Because the Bible said, fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. My body will follow my soul. Lie in the presence of the sun to ripen into the glorious grain like the one that went into the first. The real church that went down first, Ephesus. And Ephesus got to repeat. It's coming right back up through the stalk to come out another church. Now, but it's another Ephesus. Brother Branham said so. When the combines come to pick it up, the life that went down in Luther, the life that went down in Methodism, the life that went down in Pentecostism will come into the grain. And it'll go right into the grain and go out forming the perfect body of Jesus Christ. In other words, that this predestinated bride is going to be there, not one missing, not one added. And he talks about the waiting garment later on. Just like the sun comes up in the morning, you can't look at nature, but it testifies to God. You don't need even the Bible to know there's a God. The little son born, a little weak baby. About 7 o'clock goes off to start school. 10, 11 o'clock it's out. 12 o'clock in the strength. 3 in the afternoon getting old. 5 or 6 in the afternoon getting stooped shoulder. And it dies. Is that the end? No. It resurrects again the next morning. Life, death, burial, resurrection. Look at the leaves that come on the tree. It comes up a good fine leaf. Brings shade. Puts out fruit. First thing in the autumn comes. Strike with death. Runs down through the roots into the ground again. Is that the end of it? No. Next spring she comes right back again to testify. Oh, that's perpetual life. But, brother, sister, we've got eternal life. In other words, we don't have transmigration of souls and reincarnation, all that hogwash, forget it. We have eternal life, a life that never had a beginning and never had an end. Now, keep that in your mind. We won't get to it today, but keep that in your mind. We've got eternal life. We've got eternal life through this great one who came and is gone. And is able to prepare us a body. And these growing pains we feel, like you women feel condemned of what you do. You men that hang on to seminary doctrines and so forth. And all you want to say, I recite this creed, I do this. Now listen, let's face it. Brother Branham hit the women, but he hit the men. Now where did the women get these lousy clothes from? Where did they get all this junk they're doing? They got it from their husband's seminary creeds and doctrine. Because the man is the head of the woman. And a woman doesn't teach, the man teaches. And when the man lets her get this far, she becomes the teacher. Then she leads him around by the nose. Oh, he liked it. Like he asked old Gus Hall. He's the father of Tony Hall, you know, a congressman, yeah. And old Gus, they asked him about the women with the miniskirts. Well, he winked his eye. He said he liked it. Well, Tony claims he's born again, so I'm sure he couldn't like miniskirts. He sure must hate pedal pushers and... He must abominate slacks, but I doubt very much. I imagine his wife cuts her hair and runs around like all the rest do. Not condemning, but just saying, hey, I don't think his Christianity is anything we want. Yeah. Interesting. He said, maybe a foolish virgin. Hey, I got no problem with that. I'm not even interested. You know, that's like having two wives. You got one ugly one you keep in the corner somewhere, and the other one you prayed out in public. I ain't got two wives. I prayed mine in the corner and out of the corner. So who wants me? Don't worry about foolish virgin and this and that and the other thing. Forget it. You're not interested. I'm not interested. I'm interested in me and bride. You and bride, see? See here. We got eternal life. We got eternal life through this great one who came and is gone and is able to prepare us a body. Now notice, he's going back to the individual. And the individual make members of the bride of Christ and individually have all their own homes and make a beautiful collective city. And these growing pains we feel, like you women feel condemned what you do. Men hang on 70 doctrines, race, this, that. But there's something down here when you see the eyes of the blind open and the deaf hear it. Now, what if they don't? All these things that's promised. See the word of God preached in his power. Now he's talking vindication. See a prostitute off the street meet a lady. What's he talking about? Women in shorts, mini skirts, slacks, prostitutes. Slit your skirts and don't put a box spleen in there. But be real sneaky, like you go to these restaurants and the women, they big slit up here. And notice how they do, they sneak it around toward the crotch, don't they? Take a good peek. Sleaze bags. Where's the old gals that used to take axes and chop down the beer cakes? Why, they're out there in mini skirts. Or no skirt at all. What about the back? That's bigger perversion than her. See a drunkard come out of there and say, and be a real saint of God. What kind of a drunkard? Drunk on the world and things like that, not just booze. Not just a woman lying in bed with any man off the street. Oh my, see, there's something, a life in there. And you begin to feel, well, maybe I ought not to do that. They're talking about the dress code now in these things. But see, what is it? It's something your body yonder is a needing. Come on. But God's got the vitamins right in here. That's the word. Every bit of that body, Jesus has gone to prepare the place in the bosom of the Father. Yes, sir, a little germ of son of God, a little son or daughter of God. Now, what's he telling you here? He's telling you right here that you hear this word and something strikes you that you know that your dress is wrong. Or you hear something about it, you say, hey, just a minute, I better go into this. Don't let this get over my head. There's something here for me. He said, there's something in you letting you know that you got that temple over there, that body over there waiting for you. And if that doesn't strike you, then you don't have it. Oh, bless God, brother. Don't, brother, bail me. I read a vindicated man's word. So, well, you're just interpreting. I am not. I'm telling you what he said right here. Because that's what he's talking about. Now notice, he's gone to prepare a place in the bosom of God. Where is Jesus? He's in the bosom. What does the word bosom mean? It means a harbor, thoroughly protected, surrounded by God. Is it too much to change your dress for that, sisters, this morning? Is it too much to call off the smearing of the husband? I'll tell my wife and kids how to dress. If that's all I'm asking tiddlywinks, and you're giving nothing. That's all. So ended the session. Not a sour note. That's all it cost me, and that's all it cost Israel, a few pots and pans and the blood of a goat. And they turned it all down. God have pity, can't we see? It's the word that counts. So all that's required the bride to put on the Lord Jesus Christ word by word. She doesn't even want. Starts right here and goes down here. He doesn't ask for miracle signs and wonders and walking on water. And doing the impossible. Just listening and believing. And letting the word have right away. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house, Lord, to come together on a word that's a living word of Almighty God. It's been vindicated, proven, and strikes us in our heart till we know it is right. And in our minds, it says there's no place to go. Hook, line, sinker, I'm stuck. In the belly of the whale, seaweed around my head, and I'll die unless the whale comes to the beach. I feel this morning that's the way a bride is. She's stuck right down there in the belly of the whale, as it were. Many people don't find it too pleasant. But the whale got Jonah where he's supposed to go. And Lord, we know we may have our whale. We may have our ark. And I don't believe the ark was the most beautiful smelling thing under high heaven either. Every exit and every transit in the exit may cause a problem, but thank God for the transit and the exit. Getting out of the pest house. Getting into the glorified realms of our God. We bless your name this morning and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your wonderful, wonderful word this morning. And we're piling it word upon word. God, we're believing it. And that word is going to do what the prophet said. And this morning, we're more full of the Holy Ghost. than we were last Wednesday and Sunday and Saturday night. If we come together Wednesday, we're more full of the Holy Ghost again. More and more as word upon word is piled. And the repetition thereof. Because we know a fruit tree can have thousands of one kind of apples, and a peach tree have thousands of one kind of peaches, and down the line. And Lord, we know your great fruit tree of 12 wonderful fruits in 12 seasons, of thousands of them coming forth. Just beautiful panoply of what is ours this morning. Feeding on the living word, the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same word that came into flesh, same word coming again. Hallelujah. Evermore, Lord, let us eat of the tree of life before us. In your kingdom here upon earth until we get translated. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.